decade back, I, Dr. Amartya Kumar Bhattacharya, CEDG Bhattacharya International Buddhist Foundation, read a book on the Buddhist concept of selflessness by a modern Indian philosopher called Mangala Chinchore of the University of Pune, who had been given a career award by the Indian University Grants Commission. In that book, she criticized the Buddhist concept of selflessness and try to prove that the Buddhist tradition is inconsistent and incoherent and self-contradictory. She also labored to prove that the non-Buddhist philosophical trends in India, that is, the various trends of Hindu philosophy and the Jainas, they have a much better thesis than the Buddhists do. What struck me at that time was the fact that she is talking about Lord Buddha and Buddhism, and she is accusing Lord Buddha and Buddhist scholars of being muddle-headed, but she has not quoted Lord Buddha even once. At that time, I knew that she has written another book on change, which is a very fundamental concept of Lord Buddha and Buddhism, but that book was out of print at that time. 4 years ago, I was able to get a copy of that book, and having bought that copy, I read the entire book. Again, Mangala Chinchore labors very hard to prove that the various Hindu concepts of change are better than Lord Buddha's concept and the concept of Buddhist philosophers, who of course followed Lord Buddha. The first thing that I want to say is that if one looks at Mangala Chinchore's description of the various trends of Hindu philosophy, they are inconsistent, they speak in multiple voices, there is no one single trend of Hindu philosophy, there are a number of trends of Hindu philosophy, most of which oppose each other. So it is actually the Hindu philosophical tradition that is inconsistent and incoherent and muddle-headed, if I may say so. Now, Mangala Chinchore criticizes Lord Buddha and Buddhist philosophers for giving primacy to change. But surprisingly, in her entire book, she does not even once cover the process of transition or change from Dukkha, that is the first noble truth, to Dukkha Nirodha, that is the third noble truth. Now, Mangala Chinchore is right when she says that Buddhists accord primacy to change. Now, but she is wrong when she accuses the Buddhists of being wrong in doing so. Why is this the case? Because If we just take a look at Lord Buddha's first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first noble truth is suffering, and the third noble truth is cessation of suffering. So what does this entail? Although Lord Buddha did not mention the philosophy of change explicitly over here, obviously if somebody is to move from suffering to the cessation of suffering, there has to be a process of change. Without admitting change, or even relegating change to just a secondary feature, as Mangalacharya says, Hindu philosophers are right in doing, that would mean that one is effectively saying that, well, I'm okay in dukkha. For me, changing from dukkha to dukkha nirodha is secondary, is dispensable, if not redundant altogether. So that is clearly very absurd and laughable. Then take, for example, emancipation, nirvana. Now, we all want to change, I'm emphasizing the word change, from our current non-nirvanic state to nirvana. Now, what does this entail? Change from our current non-nirvanic state to nirvana. It entails precisely that, change. So, the primacy of change is not only natural, it is also in accordance with the spiritual life. Without according primacy to change, one can never aspire to be emancipated wholeheartedly. Now, supposing a Hindu, many Hindus call their emancipation by the name moksha. Okay, now an ordinary Hindu who is not in a state of moksha wants to change from his present condition to an emancipated condition, that is, to a state of moksha. The word change is in this sentence, but yet that same Hindu either does not accept change at all or relegates change to a secondary position. This is philosophically untenable, to say the least. And this calls attention to the fact that the Hindu philosophical tradition is incoherent and therefore, well, Mangalacharya says that Buddhism does not deserve any serious consideration. I would say that because of some of the reasons which I have said briefly, Hinduism does not deserve any serious consideration. Mangalacharya says that for Buddhists, becoming is more important than being. And for Buddhists, there is no being over and above becoming. She criticizes Buddhists for this. But let us look at this thing more closely. Every moment, I'm becoming one moment older. Every moment, each man is becoming one moment older. So, our life is a process of becoming. Now, if I say that there is no me apart from the me that is becoming one moment older every moment, then I'm absolutely correct. This is the Buddhist position. Surprisingly enough, Mangalacharya and Hindu philosophers criticize this Buddhist position. So, our conclusion must be that both Mangalacharya and Hindu philosophy and Hindu philosophers are incoherent, they are inconsistent in their views, and therefore the philosophical edifice of Hinduism, there is no single philosophical edifice. There are a number of Hindu philosophies, all of which claim to be the real Hinduism, and yet they diverge from one another very considerably. It does not really deserve a serious consideration from a serious philosopher.